What's up, guys? What's going on? I'm Paul. This is Pauline Theology's Daily Devotional with Trust in Jesus Ministries. We're here to help you trust in Jesus more by going through the scriptures, studying his word, and helping you to understand how to read the Bible for yourself so that you can grow in him. So that's what we're trying to do here. If you're new, if you're not, man, I'm glad you're back. As we go through Genesis, we are finished with the Jacob saga, the Jacob Esau type of back and forth, and then Jacob, Laban, and all those people. We're through with that, and we're about to move on to Joseph, another huge prominent story in the book of Genesis. But before we do that, we go through the generations of Esau and another toldot, so another section. We talked about a little bit of that in earlier parts of the podcast. So if you don't remember that, what they are is kind of section breakers where it talks about the generations or the lineage of the genealogy of certain figures. And then the next one goes into kind of like the story of the son or the sons of whom the genealogy is over. And so we're on the genealogy part. And then after we're done with the genealogy part on this chapter, which is a long chapter, talking about Esau, which means that Esau is important. And then after we go through Esau, we're going to hit on that Joseph. So if you haven't checked it out, read 36:1-8. 36:1-8. If you have, well, stop the tape, check it out, see what it has to say. Come back and we'll answer the questions. But if you have read it, then we're going to go ahead and go over the scriptures, man. So the first question is what's it actually saying? What is the narrative? What's going on? Well, what's going on is that we see it's the generations of Esau. It talks about his wives that he chose from Canaan, which is kind of a reminder of the heartbreak that Isaac and Rebekah had over him. And then it says that he had these children. After he had children, it says that he left the land. He took his wives and moved to Seir, the Mount Seir, because he was in the land of Canaan. And the reason that he moved to Mount Seir is because the land wasn't able to bear all of the blessings that God had placed upon them in riches of cattle and family and servants and all this stuff. And so they split, and a kind of a picture of the amicable split between Lot and Abram, because initially we remember that there was some animosity, but then we saw that reconciliation a couple chapters earlier. And so it's kind of just a reminder of that instance. When you're thinking about the way in which the narrative is set up for his moving from one place to another, it mimics that Lot and Abram, that they, even though there was strife for a second, that there was no more, that reconciliation occurred. And so what is this saying about God? What is this scripture saying about God? Well, it's saying he's faithful to his promise. And I think the big picture here that we see from this is the fact that Esau gets up out of the land, because that's the land of Canaan. That's the land that God had promised to the child of the covenant, the child of the promise. And that lineage is Isaac and then Abraham, of course, but then Isaac and then now Jacob. And so for Esau to leave the land and go to Seir, it establishes his own section while the Abrahamic promise continues on to Jacob, to Israel. Because we saw last chapter that God reestablished that promise with him, appearing to him and saying that he's going to give that land to him and to his seed after him. And so I think that's really kind of the thing that the person of that's writing this is saying about Esau, is that he's not under the covenant, that he's not getting the land, but Jacob is getting the land. But we know that it is he's important because they go through such an extensive run through who his people are. And we'll see that next episode when we go through all of those. I'm not going to promise that I'm going to read all the names because it is long. It is a long bit of people. But we'll talk about it and see why it's important. But yeah, Esau is an important figure, but in this particular part of this section of the book, we find that his importance comes from the fact that he is not a child of the covenant, not a child of the promise, but that he is still being blessed by God. What's this say about man? Well, it says that man is loved and blessed by God, even if not part of the covenant. Okay, we see that Esau has an abundance of wealth. And in those days, in that picture, wealth is a characteristic in some part to the blessings of God. Not always. Well, as we go through the scriptures and we study them together, we're going to see that wealth is also a picture of evil and of illegitimate gains. It just depends on the context. And so I don't want to say always that wealth is a picture of it, but we recognize here that the author is saying that the wealth that has been accumulated by Esau was a blessing from God. It was a blessing from God. And so we see that despite not being a part of the covenant, that God blesses, that God still bestows upon the goodness that he is known for, because all good things, all good gifts come from him. So how do we apply these truths to our lives? Well, I think the first thing is to recognize that we are all under what is called common grace, where God allows it to rain on the just and the unjust. I think that's what Jesus says, is that it rains on the just and the unjust. It's because God has a common grace or a common love for all people. And so recognizing that common love and that common grace that is for all people means that we as Christians should be living out this grace as well. We should be loving everyone despite whether they hail to the king or if they rebel against him. For one reason, it's because it's what God does. It's what he does. It's what he says do. And I know that that's not a way that people like to talk about fulfilling the duties that God has called us to, is to say we should live it because that's what he said do. But in reality, that's what he calls us to do. And so we should do it because we're under his dominion, under his rule. But secondly, because we love and we share and we give and we honor those who are not part of the family of God, Peter says that in that way they may glorify God. And so out of our actions, out of our lives being a love for those who are not a part of the covenant, then maybe they will be a part of the covenant, man. And so take a look at the people around you today. His application is to take a look at the people around you today and just love them. See how you're loving them. See how you're ministering to them. See how you care for them. How much that you consider their feelings and thoughts. Because God loves them, considers them, brings grace upon them. And in the same way, as Paul says, is be imitators of God, we should do the same thing. Hey, I appreciate you guys for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.